And that was really good what you said, Becky, this morning about the word cutting, and that's how you know the word. So we, Karen and I know the sword of the word, because it cuts us a lot. Because mm-hmm. we hold ourselves, or try to hold ourselves, or are reminded by the Lord to hold ourselves accountable to don't just release it, bring it through your own heart first. And so what we know and what we will share with you are what God has taught us, and it comes through the experience of the Word. I want to just reiterate this, the Word of the Lord that He gave me, just because I want to hold on to it. Is Alex Hayek in the house? Is he here today? Alex Hayek. He was here. Okay, well, hopefully he'll come in.
And if not, do it because it'll be online and it'll be recorded.
Okay. Okay. Well, Karen and I are intercessors, and the Lord was literally just showing me this morning that when you step foot on a platform as a pastor or as a teacher or prophetically in any way, you are an intercessor, because the heart and the motivation is always for the people, for the Lord's love of the people, including us. But I have been in serious travail for everyone at this conference, and not because I know everybody or would of my flesh have any concern, but because the Lord really is, He really does take over if you yield yourself and you say yes. He really does, and He weeps over and travails over and warfares over and loves and is very, very concerned about every single hair on every head within the sound of this, of my voice. And people who go into the ministry, it's always, and it should be, but I believe that it mostly is, with the motivation for people. So every single person here is so extremely important. The fact that you are sitting in a chair or turned on your computer or popped it in a CD player just to listen to something God may have to say to you, and He so wants to speak to you, and He's not confined that He can't. And so it's always the heart of intercession. Missions, which is, I believe, the apostles, because I don't find missionary in the Bible, but I believe are the apostles. And they are the least. They tend to be the least among us. They're the ones that go the lowest, and they are the first. I just see it that way. But so it's all birthed out of a heart of intercession to ever open our mouth and speak anything. So just, this comes from a heart of love. And so the Lord gave me earlier in the year, or just only in the beginning of March, but so still the beginning of the year, the Song of Solomon, 2:10-12, and I'm going to read, "My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And because I search out the word," just because the Lord taught me to do that very many years ago, and when I just had a big concordance, He told me, go get the concordance, now open it up, now look that up. And that's how I learned to study the word years ago, only because He said so. And now we kind of are not nice to each other. And we say things like, well, you know, you don't need to know Hebrew or Greek. We all need to take it up with the Lord, because He's the one that told me to do this. And now what I have found is that He has a lot of people doing it. So He wants us to go deeper in His word, because in His word are beautiful meanings. And it becomes richer, and it starts speaking more and more volumes to you, and starts opening up your spirit to receive the fullness of what He has to say. His word is all creative, obviously, because we are looking out at His word out there that He created by His mouth. all the time. We live among His Word. And so my beloved means to boil hot. So He's not just a hum-de-dum-de-dum-dum lover, our beloved. He's and He will go as far as you want to go with Him. If you can take the heat, He will give it to you. He will go as hot and go as in love as you will let Him. And may I say that we have as much as we have wanted. He doesn't withhold from not one of us. We have as much as we want. So the one boiling for us actually spoke. He spoke out of His mouth to us. And He said to us, His bride, "Rise up, my love, my beautiful one, my bright one, and walk." God is speaking healing to us. And when I realized that, because I thought, wait a minute, every time you ever said rise up and walk in the Bible, it was because you were healing somebody. You always said rise up and walk. You didn't say, hey, be healed in my name. Be healed. Jesus did not say that. Well, maybe He did one or two scriptures, but I don't know where they are right now. It hasn't come to my mind. I haven't seen it, but maybe He did. But usually He said, rise up and walk. That's the exact same thing He's saying. Rise up and walk. And so when I started to see that He meant healing, I thought, well, wait a minute, I know what healing is, don't I? And so I went and looked into healing. And the word heal, there's two words for healing in the New Testament, and I didn't even know that. And one is a therapeutic healing. And that healing is rooted in love. That healing, there's a physician healing that means to cure, but this one is therapeutic, and it means a cherishing servant. And it is a worship healing. That's what happens to your inner man when you worship and worship. You become healed. And we know that. We know that when we worship, we're healed. But that's literally what it means, to adore Him. And then the second root of that means summer heat. Well, that's pretty interesting to me, because He says right here, for lo, the winter is past. I don't know if you guys have been in a hard place. I don't know if you guys have experienced any darkness in your life. Any circumstances of darkness. When I talk about, when you guys talk about standing in your bean field, well, I'll just tell you the way I've been standing. From a laying down position with the covers over my head saying, Jesus. Jesus, that's my stand. Whether you stand in great power or whether you stand in great weakness, because the Lord saw fit for us to come into these circumstances. It doesn't matter why. I just don't ask the Lord why. I will get too wrapped up in my head and listening to everybody that wants to come tell me why, and they do. They will tell you why. I don't know if it's because of sin, and so I repent. I'm very aware that Revelations, when the Lord does begin to lose some difficulty into the earth, He's very aware that nobody's repenting. It's like they didn't even repent. I mean, literally, the stars are falling on them, and they're not repenting. So my first thing is, when things get tough, just repent. And then I don't know if it's because the devil did it. And I don't know if it's because just innocent mistakes I made. But God saw fit. And so who am I to say? Then He has something awesome to work out in the midst of it. And so I have to, one thing the Lord has taught me, and I'm going to get to that. So the word of the Lord is, for lo, the season of darkness is over. Now, He said it. So I don't care what comes against us to try to counterfeit this word of God, because the enemy always says, did He say? And tries to make you look like a liar. I don't care. I don't care. If it's my flesh, let it fall to the ground. But I don't believe it's my flesh. I believe this is the word of the Lord. And I have had to say, since he said this, the winter is over. Lo, the winter is over. Lo, the winter is over. The dark season's over. And I'm telling you, a lot of funky things have happened since this word came. But that's what we do. That's why God gives us the word. It's our life raft in the middle of the storm. That life raft that we're holding on to while the ocean is going, which why that song really meant a lot to me personally, because his word, he speaks something into you sometimes before the worst is going to happen. And that's not fun to hear, but it's the truth. And it's our life raft. Be wise. We're going to get there. The flowers appear on the earth. The time is now of singing, of the singing of birds. It is here. We are laying our hands upon it. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. And I looked up that turtle dove. And it means, not its name, but what the turtle dove represents is the sound of summer. So there's something about the heat in the summer. And then the Lord said, look, lift up your eyes, Lynn, and look. You are seeing flowers that are not supposed to be flowering right now in February. My roses never died. My family and I have been in utter devastation. Utter devastation. My grass wouldn't grow. So my land became my house. And I have got stakes in my ground from 4 years ago, or maybe 5 years now, where I poured the oil. And then I poured the wine on them, and then I poured the water on them, and then I wrote all the scriptures on them, and one would come up somehow and disappear, and I'd get another one and put it there, and then another one would come up and disappear. And I don't know who took them, because nobody's in my yard. I'd get another one. Those stakes in my ground for my land the are so weathered now. They're so precious to me because of the stains of the years of sitting there in the ground. And my grass didn't grow because my water bill was $7,000. And I couldn't pay it. And so I couldn't use my water on the grass because I was too. Every morning I turn on my water, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, thank you for water. I have become so thankful and so grateful for the things that I, in my arrogance, took for granted my whole life. I turn on a water tap and the water miraculously comes. Since I'm a little girl, I just took it for granted. And now I'm so incredibly grateful when I turn my water on. That's a miracle. I'm living in the middle of a miracle. God saw fit to pick me up out of, and let me tell you something. I'm in this house, the house that I'm in now, because I said, Father, this body of ours is supposed to cross over. And this body of ours is supposed to possess the land. That's the only reason I am where I am. God knows. God knows. I said, I see Canaan. The street's name is Canaan. I see Canaan. I will not move from this apartment until you see fit to move me. It was 7 years I was in the apartment. And then I saw Canaan. I said, that's where I want to go when you're ready. And so he moved me over Canaan. That's my exit is Canaan. Canaan exit. And he put me in a little house. And it's just a little baby plot of land. But I said, Father, for the body, for the body. And then a year and a half later, which is now, I've been in the house now for 7 years. So for 5 years, I have been holding those stakes in my ground because everything stopped coming in. Everything. I have 5 children. I've got 2 in college, 1 going to college. And they pay their own way. My kids all work. And I have my deed on my door is Ezekiel 36. And that paper is hard as a brick because it's been there for 4 years. And I have fasted 7 days. I didn't eat. And my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. I took my shofar and I went out in the backyard and I blew it 7 times. And I prophesied to him, these trees are the Lord's. This is the Lord's house. The body will inherit. And I'm still there. We really, really, everything started breaking down in the house. None of the lights work in any of the bathrooms. The floors are all broken out. And I said, Lord, you can heal this house. You can heal this house. My husband, in the midst of that, I had someone very close to me walk away. I'm done. And leave. So my heart was literally broken in a million pieces, but for real. And I never had any interaction with that person for 2 years. And in all that time, God just, if I tell you I prayed my way through that, I quoted scripture, I'd be lying because I laid there in depression. I laid in a bed of depression and I felt the oppression come on me like a spirit. And I'm telling you, when a spirit of depression and oppression comes on you, you can't do anything but whisper. Whisper, think Jesus, 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 Jesus. Matthew 25, because I want to say something about that. Matthew 25, this is what the Lord asked me to share on. It's the 10 virgins. So Matthew 25, if you want to read with me, I'm going to read 25. Matthew 25, 1 through 9. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto... This is Jesus Christ speaking, by the way. Yeah, these are not my words. I like it when it's in red, because then I put all the blank. You said it, not you. Okay. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Wisdom. This word wise, and there's other words for wise. There's several words for wise. This word for wise means 5 of them were very thoughtful, and they had a cautious character. The root of their discretion and their thoughtfulness came from their feelings. Well, we've got a doctrine in the church. You're not supposed to feel, and you definitely don't move by your feelings, and that's true. You don't. I can't move by the feelings of my circumstances. If I made decisions on my life based on the feelings I feel about my circumstances, I would be in the ground, literally in the ground, mainly because my husband, who can live with him? Because he's so depressed over the situation. He's not. We've come out. Praise God. I'm getting there. There has been breakthrough. And he's working on a major job right now that is, he's making more this month than we made all year last year. Right now today, he's there. Because God's faithful. He's faithful. But before he got that, you guys, it was hard. I'm just saying. Because he was not fun to be with. And I had my days when I was not fun to be with. But God, look at you, our picture of love, of how husbands and wives need each other. I'm going to be sharing on March 23rd, and it's all going to be about marriage. Not because I'm an expert. The Lord likes me to talk about all my boo-boos, so I'm the boo-boo open book here. Anyway, and 5 were foolish, dull, stupid, and all shut up. And being shut up was literally shutting their mouth in silence. There is a beautiful silence, and there's a silence that the devil's got you in. You refuse to speak. And I know because I minister over a lot of people, not just from Jubilee. Karen and I pray for, we're members of some other prayer groups. And I'm telling you, if you are not opening your mouth and praising the Lord and saying, I love you, I bless you, you're so awesome, Jesus, I worship you, and I know you're not doing it because I pray over you. And when I say, open your mouth, and we say, open your mouth and give the Lord thanks, you're in a prison of silence. And according to the Bible, that makes you foolish. Because those virgins are all Christians. God's talking about his people. Five of us are moving according to a sensitivity and a feeling and a depth from the presence of the living God within us. And if we're moving and feeling, don't assume that it is the soul. Well, I'm going to show you something. This is something the Lord showed me. Can y'all see this? Okay. Maybe back that up a little bit for just a minute. Karen's getting her turn, and I'll be her little servant.
We're doing good. We're doing
good. She's like, no, keep talking. All right, this is going to be, I am definitely not an artist. So, but one day, this is what the Lord showed me. Just boom, flash, okay. So, I don't know how to do this without turning my back to you. Okay, so, you're going to really see I draw stick people. Okay. Here's the head, you know, and then there's the body. You see, that's a wrong body. That's an alien. Okay, that's a body. I don't know what that is. That's a sick person. Okay, so we're born and we have a body. And inside that body, when we're born into this fallen world, we have a soul. And soul means life. It's the life inside of us. Okay? And it's a matter. It's kind of a goopy matter. And it's all moving all the time, and it's all filling up in there. Okay, that's the soul. We have a little heart, which is an organ of the body, but all of this has a heart. This whole life has a heart, which is just the center of your understanding. It's your perception. And birthed out of the heart is how you feel, how you perceive, how you see, how you think. The heart actually means mind, will, and emotions. That's the heart. Okay? Not just the organ, although it is attached. And if you feel pain, you can literally feel it in your heart. Okay? This is just something. Okay. Now, this is before salvation. And now you become saved, and a light is born in the center of you. Now you're a child of light. That thing says so. We're not normal people walking around in the earth. We got to stop thinking we are, or we're never going to get there. Okay? God has a lot to show us in our minds, but we've got to get some real basics down. We're not like other people. Repeat after me. No, I'm kidding. We're not. We're just not like other people. We are a whole new breed on the planet. We're this guy. We're this guy now. Everybody else is the other guy without the light. They're good. They do great things in the earth realm because the flesh is very blessed. It's a mighty nation in the earth, the flesh is. It multiplies and it prospers. God spoke major prosperity over the flesh nation. But this guy has him in there, a light. And what happens is this light starts sanctifying this soul. And in this light is a mind, is a will, the will of God, in our feelings, the sensitivity of a father, the sensitivity of a brother who carries the whole world in intercession. And so it's got a mind, will, and emotions inside of this light. And this one, as we worship and as we obey, And the way to get that light shining, that in it literally starts. We go into a process where this light starts to take over, and it becomes one. It completely becomes one with the soul. It will eventually, this whole thing will be all orange. It will take over. As we stay in this journey, stay the course, don't give up, do not give up. Because what happens when oppression comes on you is that it's all lies. Oppression and depression is all lies. Lie after lie after lie after lie, and they just run in your mind. Well, they hated you. Well, that was wrong. Well, everything you do is a daggum failure. Well, I don't even know why you try anymore. And I'm telling you spiritual stuff. Because you're trying to accomplish things in this because you're literally believing for a promise. But oppression and depression lie. What we have got to do is and it is a doing. Because how do these foolish virgins, what do the wise virgins say? The wise virgins say, I didn't finish reading till 9. But we know the story, don't we? Okay? They need oil because they don't have any. And the ones of wisdom, the ones filled with, oh my gosh, we're gonna go see the king. Well, you know how to come to the Lord. You don't come to the Lord with, like, you know, something hanging out of your mouth and I just kind of came off from scraping my gutters. I mean, you kind of go into the Spirit, don't you? Don't you go into the Spirit? Well, the foolish ones, and I didn't mean to be foolish when oppression and depression came on me, and I baby whispered by literally great grace, was able to baby whisper, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And eventually, I was able to go back into worship. But I went for 2 years with very little prayer and worship. I just am so transparent before you. Very little. I mean, maybe twice a week. Maybe. And that, for me, is like death. I might as well be dead. Let's just die. It's got to be, it's my life. I have to have it in order to function and breathe and thrive. Well, he says, the wise virgins say to the foolish virgins, well, go buy the oil. Because it's time, because there's always a prophet, and deliverance is always at midnight. The king, the beloved, the bridegroom, he's here. That's how it's going to be, too. He's going to come, and we're going to be like, wake me up, help! That's why he says, arise. Because we all, even if you're so filled with the Holy Spirit that, like, everything levitates around you, you still, as we're waiting and waiting and waiting, one day, no, we all slumber. We just all slumber. So even great wisdom was slumbering. But the wise girls say, and guys, because we're all virgins here, say to the foolish ones, go and buy the oil. Well, so they had to, because they literally couldn't see. They could not go. They couldn't make out the way. Okay, let me hold on to you and drag you down, and you take me. Sorry. And they were like, no, I can't. I can't. I can't get up the mountain if you're doing... Karen's got a couple of mountain stories. I can't take you. You've got to go. You got to go. Look, just go into worship. Just say Jesus. You guys, when somebody tells you to do it, just do it. Honestly, it's just sheer disobedience. And I mean, come on. Open the mouth. Come out of foolishness and say his name. The place you get the oil, I was like, Lord, where do you go? I mean, honestly, you can't buy the anointing. We know that. I mean, that one guy that wanted to buy it, I mean, he was not happy after that because he got big, fat trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, okay, got out of breath. That bothered me for so long. So one day I was sitting at my computer where I live, and the Lord said, you want to know where they buy the oil? I was like, where? Literally out of the blue. Y'all ever had that? Like you're washing dishes and the Lord decides to give you some deep, deep, deep revelation. Yeah. But thank God he does that. He said, at Gethsemane. And I was like, Gethsemane? And then it made sense to me because I know that that means oil press. I know Gethsemane means oil press. And what happened at the oil press? That's where literally God Almighty sweat drops of blood. That's how hard it was for him to say, not my will, but your will be done. Not our will, but his will be done. That's how you get the oil. It's from the brokenness and saying, Jesus, anyway, and crawling out of bed to go, that's where the oil comes from. It's his will that you believe him and not the liar. It's his will that you agree with his word over your life. You don't have a choice. It's either believe him or die. Or be happy being depressed. It's only depression. Door one, depression. Or door two, believe him. That's the will. That it's got to be his will, not my will. So, and you know what? He's going to ask you to do some things. I think this will segue into you. Ephesians 6:6 says, he was telling people that had masters over them, you know, to do what the master says. Excuse me. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And that's just how it is. It's okay that you've been in seasons of complacency and seasons of slumbering. A lot has come against us, you guys. A lot has come against us. There's so much grace for that. But there comes a day that we come out of the bed of complacency and the bed of sorrow and sickness, and we believe our Jesus. At some point, I choose to believe you again. I believe you no matter what. Though you slay me, I will trust you. And that just has to become your steadfastness of your own heart. Though he slay me, I will trust him. If he never does that word, I will die believing that he will. So that when I come face to face with this man I love, I'll say, I never stop believing you. Even though I died in it. I died believing you. I did. You might not have manifested it, but I still believed you. So let's die believing then. Don't be so scared. Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen or when's it going to happen? It doesn't matter. That's what you come to terms with in this Christian life. The beauty of it all is that God is faithful. And whether you know it or not or feel like it or not, now these are the feelings you don't live by. Because I wasn't in a lot of prayer. Hi, Alex. I wasn't in a lot of prayer in Catherine and worship. I just wasn't. I was saying, Father, you got to carry me now. And I watched the Lord carry me. Wasn't up to me. And I'm not saying you don't pray and you don't worship. Quite the opposite. But when you're fighting for your life and when you're fighting for your mind and you can't get on your knees, the Lord will literally carry you and transform you despite yourself. He does it. I eventually had a vision where I saw myself and I stepped off of a big platform where I had been laying and in bondage seemingly in my mind. And I stepped off of it, and as soon as I stepped off of it, I had on a white garment. And as I stepped off of it, and I was barefoot, and then the white garment split down too and fell off of me, and I was solid gold. Wow. Solid gold. Who knew what the hardship was doing for me? What all these negative, horrific circumstances were doing for me? When a man goes into boot camp, and I heard this from another person, it's not my revelation, but it applies to all of us. The sergeant knows what's in a man because he's done this before. And so he says, get up and run 5 miles. And the new guy off the bus is like, do what? I can't run 2 blocks without, you know. But they know what's in you. And by the time you leave, you're running 5 miles. That's how God is with us. He's pulling out of us. We think, oh, we can't make it if I don't pay my mortgage. You know, that was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I cried and boo-hooed because I was going to miss a month of mortgage. Because my, you know, it's humiliating not to. And it's a reproach not to. But God had a totally different way for me to walk. Not that I recommend doing that, because I'm there kind of staking the claim. And he's doing something very particular with me. Because believe me, when I did get money, I tried to, and they wouldn't take it then. And I was given a lot of different counsel, but I've never had in my heart to leave yet. And so I'm still there. And that story's not over yet. But what has happened is that my husband and I pray a lot together now. I tell the devil, if you're not going to give my husband work, then we're going to go, you know what I mean? We're going out together. We're going to get closer then. So I would recommend you don't keep the work back, because all we're going to do is become more and more one person. And we're going to pray harder. That's fighting and warring with wisdom, guys. Come on. Do you want to share? No. You're here too. We're going to, what we would like to do later, and Marilyn offered us last night, hi Faith, Marilyn offered us last night some anointing oil in its flowers. I thought, well, that's perfect because of the word of the Lord that the flowers are blooming. That word is literally, you know, God enlarges your vision without you even realizing it. And it's kind of like, he doesn't do, you know, the Lord showed me a long time ago, I'm humble, Lynn. I don't do everything I do with big, giant thunderclaps. It's just as you walk, you realize, oh my gosh, I'm healed. Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any thunder. Mm-hmm. I just am healed. Yeah. He's very, very humble, God. And he wants, and that's so, anyway, what was I saying right before that? Where was I going? Do any of us know? Huh? Oh, okay, thank you. Woo, having a menopause moment. Okay. Sorry, Cammie. She was smart and she prayed. She was a wise virgin. I was foolish. I didn't pray about it. What was I saying? The oil. The flowers. The flowers. No, the Lord was showing me that is a Western word for the rest of the body. And that's why we have the sign among us. It was just to make us mindful that this life, this Christian life that we're in is way bigger than us. It's way bigger than just these few seats. We have a voice that's his voice to share. And he broadens your horizons as you just stay the course. Just stay the course. Meaning, just keep believing him. Just keep believing. And so this is a word from the West to the rest of the whole body. I believe. I just believe it. Because the Lord said, lift up your eyes, Lynn, and look and see. The flowers are blooming. It's not that case in New York City right now or anywhere else, but it is here. We didn't have a winter. We had a summer. So I believe that that's a sign that this is an actual word of the Lord.
Yes, amen. I receive it.
I'm so hot. Oh, my. Oh, sorry, I didn't know I was on still. Here. Huh? Yeah, exactly. I'm boiling. We're going to pray, though, afterwards.
Well, I was in prayer, and I was praying about the conference, and I said to the Lord, you know, because on Sunday, Pastor Steve had asked Lenny for us to do a little tag team, and I said to the Lord, you know, Daddy, what would you have me to say, if anything, to the champions? And he said to me, Karen, I want you to talk about radical obedience. And then he took me down memory lane. And you guys, I'm not talking about works here. So please don't hear what I am not saying. I'm not saying run out of here and just make a God list of what you need to do and what you don't need to do. Don't do that. You only can get that by spending time with the Father and going into the secret place and saying, it's not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I die today, Daddy. Pick up Jesus. I put on Jesus and have your way. And he has taken me places that certainly I never thought I would go. In fact, if you would have told me you know, 20 years ago, Karen, someday you're going to be in a crack house, or you're going to be, you know, laying hands on someone here or there, or this is going to happen. I would have, you know, certainly not believe. I thought, you've got somebody else. But through the time, and just, and now I just so hunger to be in his presence. You know, it's like, I got to hurry up and do whatever I got to do so I can just go and be with the Lord. And I just love it, you guys. It's like, and I'm jealous for that time, because that is where I become alive. I become alive. And I went from, you know, okay, Daddy, here, let me give you my list. You know, do you notice this is going on and this is going on? And you know what? He was so gracious, and he helped, you know, me work through a lot of things in life. But then there came a time where I'd go, Daddy, this is going on and this is going on. And he was silent. And I, you know, I was like, I saw a vending machine and I thought, oh, I'm going in, I'm putting in my quarter and I'm popping, you know, popping the thing and getting out my thing and saying, thank you. You know, and I thought, Lord, forgive me for just going to you for things and for my needs. And you know all my needs anyway. And it taught me to go before the throne of beautiful, great grace and great mercy and just press in and say, oh, Daddy, tell me, how did you put the stars in the heavens? How did you place them? To where he actually spoke mysteries to me and sealed them up and sent me on my way. And going there and just being with him and just, you know, Daddy, I love you. I love you. I love you. I had a vision the other day. I'd just been on the porch with the Lord and we were talking, and I was saying, tell me about the universe, you know? And I said, how did you do that? I mean, that is so cool. People are still finding, you know, black holes and black holes and black holes. I mean, it's just so cool. And I left the Lord. And as I left the Lord, I saw a black mass following me. And I saw the Lord go and squash that black mass. And it's because I had just come out of a beautiful, intimate place with my Father who cares for me. And in that place, that's when I lay down Karen, I pick up the Lord, and I say, let's go. And I start out and go. And when I'm there, I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. In that place, and I'll share a few stories with you, a friend of mine, I worked with her at this organization. We help homeless people, and her husband had backslid into drugs. I don't know what you call it, relapsed. And he was in a crack house, and she was flipping out. I mean, just flipping out. She called me up, and she said, Karen, Dan's in the crack house, and we need to go get him out. And I said, oh, Kathy, you know, you just don't walk into a crack house. I mean, I don't know. I've never walked into a crack house, but I mean, you just don't walk in and go, hi, we're here. We want to get so-and-so out, and, you know. And my husband happened to be out of town, which was a miracle, you guys. This was back with the old flip phones. So I had the old flip phone, and I had it in my workout bra. So I say to my friend, okay, well, let's just pray. We got to pray because we need to know that God's with us. Because if he's not with us, love you, but, you know. And so anyway, we got on our faces and literally surrendered totally and completely to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit took a hold of me like I've never at that point had been, you know. And I was like, whoa, okay, Kathy, let's go. And she's just a little itty-bitty thing. And so I said, whatever you do, because she was already all worked up, I said, don't say anything. Just leave it to me, but don't say anything. And if you're saying stuff, I can't hear the Holy Spirit. So I have to hear the Holy Spirit. So please, just be calm. So, and I just happened to be fasting because my husband was out of town. So my phone called one of the intercessors of this group that I, and so Troy was her name, and Troy could hear everything. It was so supernatural. It was the old flip phone, okay? So Troy could hear everything, and she was interceding the whole time. So we go downtown LA in an old abandoned motel. And it was a motel that once you walked in, you shut the door, you were in like a courtyard, and you know, it kind of, you can see the sky this way. But once you walked in, you were in. So I said, okay, so we rang the bell, and it was all boarded up and everything. And the guy, when he answered the door, literally, I'm telling you, he must have seen the angels that were, you know, 12 feet behind us, because there were five people that came to the door, and they literally bowed and stepped back like this. So we walked in, and I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. So we walked in, the door shut, and we're like, and when I'm talking about an abandoned motel, you know, on the second floor, there you could see through to the first floor. So we go up, and he wasn't there. So we're standing in the middle of the courtyard. We go back down, and we're standing in the middle of the courtyard. I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do we do? What do we do? And Kathy's like, you know, we got to do something. We got to do something. I said, just be still. Hold on. I see him. So we run upstairs and we go get him. Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, he just got another stash. You know, he was getting ready to get high. And so he was flipping out and Kathy was flipping out. And I thought, okay, this is not good. All of a sudden there's a ruckus kind of raising up and we're like, okay. I said, Kathy, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We got to go. Meanwhile, Troy is interceding the whole time. We leave. We go into a little local place. I bought a couple of hamburgers because there was kids in the crack house. And I'm like, Lord, okay, what do we do, Father? By the time we came back, he was standing outside waiting for us. Troy could hear the whole conversation. We get him home and got him detoxed. That was God. That was radical obedience, going when he said go, doing as he said do, and he's just faithful that way. And I'll tell you one time where I wasn't, well, a couple of times I wasn't obedient, but so I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is younger, when I'm younger in the Lord, I'm like, Lord, use me, use me, use me. Lord, just use me mightily for the kingdom of heaven. You know, use me, Lord, use me. So I'm at Third Street Promenade, the pier, and I'm watching my daughter. She's going up and down the rock wall on the pier, and I'm just standing there, and the Holy Spirit, two women walk by, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go over there and lay your hands on that woman's eyes and pray healing. And I was standing there. I was like, are you talking to me? Literally, it was, he said, Karen, I want you to go and I want you to pray for that woman. And I said, and literally the Holy Spirit was nudging me, truly. And I literally was like, I am not, no, 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 no. Okay. I was so upset because I grieved the Holy Spirit. I was so, so, so upset that I, Charlie, get off the wall. We got to go. And we literally get in the car, and I put my head on the steering wheel, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Lord, what was I going to say? Hi, my name's Karen. The Lord just told me, you know, what was I going to do? And he said, Karen, I would have given you the words. Well, this was a miracle, you guys. So I was grieved. I mean, utterly grieved. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. So a spiritual sister of mine, I was telling her the story, and she said, well, this was like 6 months later. Okay, I'm still thinking about how disobedient I was. And now we know there are no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who are called according to his purpose, and I get that. But I was, you know, I do pray, Lord, use me, use me, use me. And anyway, she said, well, Karen, let's just pray. If God hasn't healed that woman, that he gives you another chance. I said, okay. Ta-da. 2 weeks later, Vicky, this gal, she went to my church with me. This was at the Malibu Vineyard, back in Malibu Vineyard days. And so anyway, this happened to be the day my son was getting water baptized. And I was waiting for some friends to come. So I kept looking over my shoulder, kept looking. And literally it was like, okay, pay attention, you know. And I kept looking over my shoulder, kept looking. And sure enough, those two same women came in. Now this is, we're talking, it's like 7 months later, 6.5 months later. And I just will never forget their faces, because it was like it burned an imprint on me when I said no. And so I'll never forget them. And so anyway, I was like, oh! And the gal that had prayed with me, Vicky, was there because my son was getting baptized. So I go, Vicky, you're not going to believe this. Look, they're here. Okay. The Lord might as well set them on my lap, because he set them three seats behind me, right there, exactly right behind me. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're here. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I knew it was an answer to prayer. I just knew. What are the chances? So I said, okay, after church, let's go and talk. Will you go with me? She said, sure. So after, they went down to meet the pastors. So I literally was following them. I'm going down, you know, I'm following them. They're talking to everybody. I'm following them. They're talking to these people. Okay, they're done. They turn around and they walk by me. And I said, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute, please? And they said, well, sure. And I said, were you at the pier 6.5, 7 months ago? And the one woman looked at the other woman. And she said, well, yeah, it was about then. We don't go to the pier very often. We live in Pasadena. We don't, you know. Yeah, it was about then. She's like, and I said, well, I know you were. You were there. Because I'll never forget you. And the woman was looking at me like, really? I said, yeah, the Lord actually wanted me to pray for you. And the one woman said, who? And I said, you know, the Lord wanted me to pray for her. And she said, well, what did the Lord want you to pray? He said, he wanted me to lay hands on her eyes and pray healing over her eyes. And the woman's name was Mama. And so she started to cry. And she said, I have glaucoma. So I said, can we just honor the Lord and do and let him have his way and pray healing over your eyes? God is the God of second chances. He really, really, really is. And I'll just I got to share one other story with you, because this is a good one. So I'm worshiping the Lord on the beach, and I'm praising him. Jesus, I love you. And I'm running and I'm worshiping. The Lord said to me, see that man right there? He said, I want you to go, and I want you to talk to him, and I want you to tell him a couple of things for me. And I was like, okay, I will. As soon as I'm done, praise you, Jesus. As soon as I'm done worshiping you,
Exactly.
And I went, oh. Well, by the time I turned around, the guy was crossing over the PCH. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So the Lord gave me an opportunity the very next day. That same man, and he was a homeless man. And to the natural eye, he wasn't beautiful. But to the Lord, this man was so beautiful. He hadn't bathed in I don't know how long. So the next day I saw him and I ran right up to him and I sat next to him. Now, God, in doing something, this man's name was Arthur, and in doing something for Arthur, he was doing something for me too. Because I had an issue with, like, you know, just kind of dirty stuff, you know, just like, you know, I just had a real issue with germs, let's put it that way. And I sat next to Arthur, and by the time it was done, Arthur was hugging me. And I hugged him back, and then I left, and I said, Lord, he hugged me. And the Lord was like, Karen, Arthur hasn't been hugged in years. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, Arthur got to where he was waiting for me. He was like, this is my location, and I'm going to wait for Karen. And he, every time I ran, well, I got so free of being, like, afraid of, because he was sick. He was really sick. He had, like, smuggy, and he was really, really, really sick. And when he hugged me, I was like, oh, I mean, I'm just being transparent. I had a little temper tantrum, like, did you see him, Lord? He was sick, and he was hugging me. And the Lord said to me, you will not get sick. You will not get sick. And I said, okay, forgive me. Okay, so then the next day I saw Arthur, and, you know, and I just was I was free from, you know, that bondage of not wanting to hug somebody that was dirty. And you know what? We got to hug the dirty people when God tells us to hug them. Don't go hugging every dirty person. I'm just going to share one more story. One more story. Because this is radical obedience, you guys. I saw so many miracles. Okay, so I was downtown L.A., and I was, I knew, and my same friend Vicky was with me, and we had parked the car, you know, a little further away, and so we had to go through a back alley to get to the car. Well, there were these two guys on the ground, and one of them had been beaten up, and he had a knife, and the other guy looked up, and he said, can you help us? And the Holy Spirit said, get on your knees. So I got on the guy by the guy with the knife, and I would only do that with the, you know, the Holy Spirit. Please, you guys, I mean, the voice of the Lord, knowing, communing intimately with the Lord will take you places you never thought you'd go. In the flesh, it'll get you killed. But so I just have to say that. So anyway, I got down on my knees, and I got in his face. And somebody had beaten him up, and he was going to kill someone. He had his knife, and he was going to kill. And I'm telling you, God's love for that. His name was Joaquin. And so I'm like, Joaquin, what happened? And this guy, he was telling me the story. Well, I said, Joaquin, do you know Jesus? And he said, I know Jesus. He was a Hispanic fella, and his parents had taught him about Jesus. And he said, yes, I do. I know Jesus. I said, well, he wants me to tell you right now how much you are greatly loved, Joaquin. And we were, you know, talking. By the time it was all said and done, Joaquin handed me the knife and said he was not going to go kill that man. I throw the knife in the trash. I'm down in LA 2 months later. What are the chances but God to let me see Joaquin totally restored with his girlfriend walking down, like, totally restored, totally restored. He could have thrown his life away, but God saw fit to pull him up out of the ash heap of despair, and actually a work of destruction was trying to really kill him and kill his destiny, but God saw fit to bring resurrection life into Joaquin's life. So it was just so beautiful. But these are only things, you know, that's radical obedience, going and doing as he says, go and do. And he's just faithful. He is just so faithful. And, you know, it was so funny. I was doing a little Bible study. I thought, okay, radical obedience, you know, okay. And he was kind of walking me down memory lane. And he said, Karen, it's about putting off the old man. Dying daily. I mean, if you are willing, I'm willing. And actually, one time the Lord, when I was driving to church here, to Jubilee, the Lord woke me up and he said, Karen, are you willing? And I was like, well, yeah, Lord, I'm willing. What do you mean? Am I willing? Am I willing? He said, are you willing to be late for church? Are you willing to be late to pick up your kids? If I have something for you, are you willing? And I said, well, I think I'm willing. I hope I'm willing. And so that morning, I was bringing Gemma to church, and we were driving, and we're on Malibu Canyon Road, and I see this on one of the side, like, cutouts areas on the side of the mountain. I see this woman in a white dress, and she was beautiful, and in a cute little white sundress, And I got a huge check in my spirit, like, ooh. And I went, okay, something's not right with that woman. And my friend said, no, she looked fine. I said, well, okay. Well, all I know is the Lord asked me if I was willing. I just got to be willing. So let me just turn around. So I turned around, found a place, because it's not easy to turn around on Malibu Canyon. Mm-hmm. And so I found a place, and I went back, and she was on the phone, and I said, excuse me. I wound down my window, and I said, excuse me, are you okay? Is everything okay? And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I said, okay. So Jim, my friend, said, see, I told you she was fine. I said, I know, but I just have to be obedient. The Lord said, whether it's just a test of obedience, I just have to be willing. So we're here at church, we go out to lunch, and we're driving back. Well, the woman in her beautiful white dress was now, her dress was brown and covered with dirt, and her hair's all messed up, and the emergency crew was there pulling, you know, with winches and stuff, pulling people out from that area. So there was a massive accident. And you know, I could have just, I mean, it could have been just a test, are you willing? But, you know, obviously I didn't know what to do with the willing part. You know, I was like, I thought, but now I know, pray, you know, just pray. And as I've been going through my journey, I just pray for more boldness. So when I see someone somewhere and the Lord tells me to go over there, I just say, you know what, the Lord just told me to come over here and talk to you. What's your name? And find out their name, because their name, people may not have been calling them by name for a long time. And so their name is important. And you know what is so beautiful? God lets me remember their names. God does that because they're important to Him. And so I remember one time there was this woman laying on the bench in 3rd Street Promenade, and the Lord said, I want you to go over and give her a snuggle. I said, okay, Lord. And so I went over and I got on my knees and I got in front of her and I said, the Lord just came over, told me to come over here and give you a snuggle. What is your name? She said, Vivian. I said, Vivian, the Lord loves you very much. She said, you know what? I was just crying out to God this morning saying, where are you, God? Do you care about me? That was God's way of saying, yes, Vivian, I care very much about you. So that's going and doing the things that you don't necessarily, you might need to change your plans for God. You know, you might think you're going shopping with your girlfriends when the Lord says put down everything because you're going downtown to L.A. to find someone's kid. And by the way, oh, this was another miracle. This was a really, really good miracle. Do we have time for another miracle? Okay. Okay, because this is really, really, really good, you guys. So a friend of mine, she was crying, and I said, Tadia, why are you crying? And she said, my son has kicked, when you don't go to school, you cut ditched school for a month and has been signing, forging her name, and the school had called again that morning and said, you know, her son Alex wasn't at school. And I said, okay, hold that. I went, made a phone call. I'm not coming. I canceled my plans. I said, come on, we're going to go find your son. She said, Karen, I have no idea where he is. Do you know any of his friends? No. I said, okay, well, let's just go to the school. So we go to the school. We find out, get all the papers and everything. And I said, Victoria, I call her Claudia. I said, Tadia, you don't know where your son is, but God does. So we were coming out of the school, and Tadia said, well, there's an arcade this way. I said, okay, well, let's just wait on the Lord. Lord, where is Alex? Where is he? Lord said, turn right. She wanted me to go left. Lord said, turn right. Within 5 minutes, that kid was in my car. Yeah. It was a miracle. So I just say, you know, as you spend time with the Lord and surrender your life to Him, let Him become the presence that takes you places you never thought you'd go, do things you never thought you'd do, and just love. There's sometimes where the Lord opens up my heart, and I can feel His love for some people. And let me tell you, His love is weighty. I went to a conference one time and in downtown LA, and I was late. My friend was late coming, and I thought, we're going to be late. We're not going to find any parking. It was a speaker from out of town. Creflo Dollar was in. So I thought, oh, we're not going to get a seat. And literally, we drove around looking for parking. So worship had ended by the time we had walked in, and Creflo was just getting ready to pray. And so I said, just let's honor him. And there was like 50 people waiting to be seated. And it was my friend Vicky again. And so we were standing there and honoring the Lord. The usher guy picks me and Vicky out of all the people. And he says, come with me. Puts me right up front, fourth row from the front. I was like, Lord, you did that for me. You just did that for me. Well, yeah, he did it for me. But no, there were... There were two boys sitting next to me that were like 16 years old. Either they were twins, or but they looked a lot alike. And literally the weight of God's love, I felt like I was being crushed in my chair. I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And He wanted me to do something that would minister to them and them only. And so I was obedient and I did that. But when the Lord lets you feel His love, it is weighty. It is so beautiful. It's really a beautiful thing. So I'm just saying today, I want to encourage even myself in the most holiest of faith to continue to go into that secret place behind the veil. You know, I don't want to be an outer court Christian. I just don't. I don't even want to be an inner court Christian. I do want to be a wise virgin. I do want to be a holy of holies dweller in the presence behind the veil with my Lord, my Savior, finding out what His heart is, where He wants me, what He wants me to do. So I just say that to encourage you all today in the most holiest of faith.
I wanted to, do we have a few minutes? Or when are we supposed to stop? How long of a break did you?
We have 20 minutes.
We have 20 minutes? Sorry, I'm chewing gum.
You missed your window.
Say what? So, let me see if any of the people are here today that... I did see some people in prayer. Sharon, I'm getting ready to pray. The Lord is going to bring you out into a whole new... I saw your face in prayer before we ever got to church, so it was really funny that you came and sat right behind us. But the Lord showed me that you were going to come into... fresh vision, a whole new vision, and like a whole new purpose. And you're coming into a really beautiful, exciting, He said, I felt like, I don't know if you've been going through something for a couple of years, but I feel like you're going to be moving into like a decade, like it's an extended season of fresh vision and real excitement. God is going to completely shift you. And so I really believe that that's the word of the Lord because, you know, I wouldn't just see your face in prayer. So I believe that was God wanting to minister that to you and encourage you. I also, if Alex Hyatt could come back, and any other man that is really... really battling devastation. Like, it's hard. It's just really hard now. And I don't know if any man here is, because one of the promises the Lord gave is that He is going to take you from the ash heap, and he's going to bring you forth in real beauty. And so there's a couple of people that aren't here that I saw, so maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll just share it with them individually if I see them throughout the conference, if that's okay. Can I do that, Pastor Steve? Because I don't know their names, but I did see faces as I was in prayer. So what I wanted to do was to play this song when Alex comes back. And Catherine, if you can come up with him. Can you come here, Alex, to the front? Can you play that song, please? And Catherine, come with him. And can we come down, or should I bring them up? We can come down. Karen, can you pray with me? And do you have your anointing oil? Marilyn's anointing oil she gave us. Can you start the song?
My life.
This is radical obedience, because this is what I saw in the Spirit, so I just want to be faithful.
So uncertain. Now I am left alone and I am broken. Trying to find my way. Trying to find the faith that's gone. This time, I know that you are holding all the answers. But I'm tired of losing hope and taking chances on roads that never seem to be the ones that bring me home. Give me a revelation, show me what to do. I've been trying to find my way, I haven't got a clue. And tell me, should I stay here, or do I need to move? Give me a revelation, I've got nothing without you. I've got nothing without you. This path that's ever winding, through every twist and turn, I'm always finding that I am lost again. Tell me when this road will ever end. Give me a revelation, show me what to do. I've been trying to find my way.
The blessing of the Lord be upon you. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Give me a revelation. I've got nothing
with you. Dark season is over. I declare that over you in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it over you in the name of Jesus. I declare it over you in the name of Jesus. Bless you for it, Father. May the blessing of the Lord come upon this household in Jesus' name. Blessing of the Lord. Handariendo Hosea, Hosea. We agree with your mighty word, Father God. We agree with your word. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You usher it in, Lord. You usher in the great through in the name of Jesus. Handariendo Hosea. Bless you for the breakthrough in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. I bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, for your word is true. Your word is true. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Glory to you, Father God. Glory to you, Father God. Glory to you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Right now, Jesus Christ.
Anybody? I'm going to move on over. Just let the music play. Sharon, you can stay here too. Just let that play. If you feel shut up and you haven't been able to open your mouth and speak, to fight, to praise, to bless, anything. If you feel like you have been in a prison of silence, If you've battled an oppressing, depressing spirit that will not let you speak, please come forth. I don't know if there's anybody in this place that is battling that, but if you're having a hard time, please come forth. Please come forth. I want to pray for you. Huh? I've got people coming. Yeah, you can stand in for someone.